Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 164. I'm Rob Wright, security news director at TechTarget, and I am here with security news writer Alex Khalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be here.
Yes. Well, we have big news, Alex. We have probably the biggest news of 2020 to discuss, possibly the most impactful threat campaign, maybe in some time, maybe in recent history. I'm not quite sure how to sort of categorize it. And
we don't really know the scope of it yet either.
We don't know the scope. We don't know exactly who's behind it. We don't know how far it's gone. We don't know a lot of things. And of course, we're talking about the SolarWinds backdoor attacks that have basically dominated the InfoSec world over the past several days. And this started, well, really it started last week. There was a disclosure from FireEye in which they said that they had been breached and their red team tools had been compromised, and they attributed the breach to a sophisticated adversary, a potential nation state threat actor that had used previously undiscovered or undocumented techniques to get inside of FireEye. And lo and behold, a few days later, FireEye issued another statement, a new blog post Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. I don't remember the exact hour that this went up. But basically saying that the nation state attack it had suffered was the result of a massive supply chain attack on SolarWinds. A big enterprise software maker specializes in centralized IT management, monitoring, remote IT management. They're used by a number of large enterprises, a number of U.S. governments, and probably other government agencies as well. Big, big clientele base, lots of major enterprises, lots of government agencies. And FireEye disclosed that this backdoor campaign was using malware it called Sunburst, that they planted this backdoor and inside of SolarWinds Orion IT monitoring and management software. And that they basically Trojanized these software updates for the Orion platform. And then when these updates went out through the period, I believe, of March through June, that they delivered this malware, this backdoor, to clients that installed those updates. And that gave threat actors backdoor access to those networks of those clients, regardless of whether they were FireEye or different government agencies. But Sunburst, this little file, was able to a little. I'm sure it's more complex than that. Was able to just basically allow the threat actors to waltz in and into the network, and from there they did all sorts of things. FireEye went into detail about the lateral movement. Microsoft posted something because they investigated this as well. We'll get into Microsoft's role in this in just a bit. They talked about how they were able to basically forge SAML tokens and spin up new credentials and steal credentials. And these guys knew what they were doing. The attacks they have not been publicly attributed to any nation state or governments, but there have been a number of reports, Washington Post, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, from anonymous sources attributing this attack to APT-29, the Russian state-sponsored hacking group, also known as Cozy Bear. So, Alex, we're going to stop right there.
Yes.
And I want I want your reaction as someone, I know I say this a lot, but as someone who has been on the beat now for a while, but still, you're somewhat new to it.
The normal guy perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I'm laughing, but only to keep from crying just because of just how crazy this situation and this story is and how impactful and potentially devastating it is. But yeah, what was your take when you started to see this unfold? I mean, I know you and I and Ariel, our colleague Ariel Waldman, we were on Slack Sunday evening sort of going back and forth about this as it unfolded on the news and in InfoSec Twitter. But what was your reaction to it?
So my reaction starts with the FireEye hack, because the thought with the FireEye hack was, oh man, this company that works with the government gets hacked, and like this very well renowned company that like has a very good reputation, like this is really bad. And it was, of course, but that moment in retrospect is like one of those, like, you ever see that picture of like the deep web iceberg that yes. like has like the little ice at the top and then has yep. this ridiculous, obviously fictional levels of the deep web.
Yes.
Going to like quantum mechanics at like oh, the gosh. Bottom. Anyways, it reminds me of that, where like you had this, and then you had actually these people not only hacked FireEye, but hacked the government. Also, it was because they slipped into a firmware update. Is yeah. the firm? Would that be the accurate?
Software update.
Software
yeah.
update.
Not firmware. I hope it's not firmware. I mean, there has been
software. Sorry, I have the video game mindset.
No, but there has been speculation, like if they did this, and you know, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if they did this, and you know, the CISA just announced that, you know, there may have been other vectors. They're investigating other vectors. They believe other vectors were used for initial infections beyond Orion. You know, some people have speculated that, you know, firmware updates could have been involved for what, you know, systems or what software makers, we don't know yet. But yeah, but right now it's just the Orion IT monitoring, you know, software updates.
Got it.
So
and then so we go down to snuck in a software update that hacked the government. Then you get deeper and you see like that wild antivirus support page.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get deeper and then you see CISA and stuff talking about like, actually, it might be much bigger than this. And then you see FireEye with Microsoft having this like, it's not a, they don't have anything to redeem, but like redemption arc is like almost the word I'm thinking of, where like, they're working to like fight back against this.
Yes.
And like narratively, and obviously this is real people, real yes. life, real consequences, but from a narrative perspective, this is wild. And my react and like my jaw kept dropping deeper as the week went on.
I mean, to your point, it really has unfolded like it's something out of like a spy novel or like a techno thriller, in terms of just the things that have dropped over the last just few days, like not even the week, just in the last couple days. I mean, you mentioned some of the things we've written about and that have come to light. It's pretty shocking. I mean, I'll tell you from my perspective, when the SolarWinds news came out, and you know, SolarWinds, so FireEye posts this blog post on Sunday, and Kevin Mandia makes a statement as well, and SolarWinds follows up with a statement of its own saying, yep, we've just learned that we were, you know, the target of a nation state attack, and they did this. Microsoft jumps in with its, you know, contributions to it as well. You know, I saw that and I thought, you know, this is, supply chain attacks aren't new. This has been going on for a while. You know, people have talked about the risk of supply chain attacks to enterprise software, and specifically what the risks are to government agencies. But in the past, when these things have happened, it's been so like the NotPetya ransomware attacks from a few years ago. Those used poisoned updates in like a financial like a tax program for I think it was called MiDoc from Ukraine. And there's been other campaigns. There was like an attack on software CC Cleaner a couple of years ago. Like there've been supply chain attacks. There was one. This might have happened when you not long after you joined, but there was a case where I think Docker Hub, some threat actors had figured out a way to implant like coin miners, like Bitcoin miners or cryptocurrency miners. So it's not that people didn't realize the risk of the supply chain attacks, but I think a lot of people, including myself, were just kind of waiting for the day that, you know, the mother of all supply chain attacks was going to drop. And we were going to find out that a major, major embedded software maker with lots and lots of high value target clients had been pwned, had been compromised, and that someone, whether it was China or Russia or someone, had been inside that company and achieved, you know, incredible access to the Pentagon, to, you know, the top of the Fortune 500 list, other countries, governments, you name it. And that's what this was. This was like the fruition of that sort of primary fear about supply chain attacks, that somebody really big and really important was going to get pwned, and it was going to give access to really, really sensitive material, really, really sensitive data. And it was going to be very hard to sort of respond to, clean up, investigate, and rule out that, you know, the attackers had been completely removed. Because I'll tell you, the amount of access, God, you've read the stuff, like just going through this and even today learning about some of the things, you know, from CISA that they just posted in their alert. Like these attackers are embedded in these networks, and it's going to take a long, long time to really feel confident that they're not there anymore. Like it's incredible. It really is. So
I want to actually ask you something, and this is probably, this might be a better question for the end, but I'll ask it now.
No, ask away.
So I've been like taking a broad look at like what news outlets have been publishing. And then this isn't like one journalist like talking smack about other outlets, but the question is, like, there's been a lot of reporting on this that I don't want to say is sensationalized, but does add like a lot of drama to the situation. And I guess my question, and like, I guess the story I'm thinking of is the New York Times one, the "We're Being Hacked" title, and like some other stuff I've seen. And I guess my question for you, as someone who's been on this beat for much longer than I have, do you think the coverage is appropriately sensationalized? Do you think it's like too much or even too little, and this is way bigger and people don't understand how big this actually is? Because I haven't made a judgment about it. I just noticed there's been a lot of dramatic reporting, and I don't know, and it's hard to tell, especially as someone who like writes content, like, is this drama appropriate? Is it actually underdoing it? Is it over? Like, what do you think?
I would say I've definitely noticed the same thing you have. And normally in all things InfoSec, I think there's like a, you know, there's, I think within the community, there's a certain mentality that, yes, the media tends to get a little carried away and over dramatize things. I think in this case, I kind of go back and forth on it. At first, you know, I kind of agree with that assessment, because like when you have CISA coming out today, you know, CISA puts out this alert and they said, you know, yesterday there was the joint statement, CISA, FBI, Office of the Director of National Intelligence. And they say, the attacks are ongoing. This is very serious, you know, compromised federal networks, although they didn't say who. They put out another alert today saying, hey, look, we think that the Orion platform is not the only vector that the threat actors are using to gain, you know, sort of initial access or initial infection vector. And they said in no uncertain terms, this poses a grave risk to enterprises and government agencies, state, local, federal, whatever. So on one hand, you see the language and you think to yourself, well, that's probably, you know, pretty accurate. On the other hand, I got to say, and I haven't seen as much written about this. I've seen some InfoSec writers touch on this, but one of my, you know, after like my initial reaction that, wow, this is bad, this is sort of the white whale of supply chain hacks that everybody sort of was fearful of. The next thing I kind of thought was, well, whoever found this, and speculation has been it's Microsoft for a number of reasons, technical reasons, we don't have to go into them here. But whoever found this, number one, good for them. And number two, this is a, like, it's hard to look at this and say it's a huge win. Because just the breadth and the scope, and like you said, we don't know yet how far this goes. But this was not a campaign, like, that was meant to be discovered, if that makes sense. Like, they weren't committing an attack. They weren't dropping ransomware. They weren't, like, it doesn't look like they were doing anything to purposefully be detected. In fact, everything that they were doing was, you know, living off the land, using admin tools. Like, this was designed to be a long-term cyber espionage operation. And it's been completely disrupted. I mean, it's been completely disrupted. It's not, I don't want to say stopped dead in its tracks. I'm sure the threat actors still have access to a lot of places. And like I said, it's going to take a long time to clean this up. Mm. But that we know, like we know. And I think it was Ariel's story. She talked with the CEO of Cyber Reason. You know, the CEO speculated that, well, this was, you know, probably done. The timing of the attack was probably done because they know they're getting ready for the next administration. They know there's a transition period. They probably feel pretty comfortable that the current administration is not going to do anything. They've got their hands full. And the new administration can't do anything quite yet because they're not in. But, you know, they're planting flags inside these networks to spy on the next administration. Well, that's all gone. Like that's gone now. Hopefully, I mean, I guess there's a chance that they're using other vectors and that we might miss those vectors and then they can maintain access. Who knows? But it still feels like a bit of a win in the sense that this was a really, really cunning and elaborate scheme that they pulled off. And we still found it. I had nothing to do with this.
Both of obviously. Us worked together.
Yes.
We created the kill switch.
We had nothing to do with this. You know, hats off to whoever at Microsoft or whatever entity out there first picked up on this and helped FireEye zero in on it and figure out what was going on. So I take that as a positive. Does that change sort of the dramatic descriptions of the situation? I don't know. I mean, I guess to me, the big question, and I don't know how you feel about this, it's like, how much data do they have? And like, what did they do with the accident? Like, if they have nuclear codes, I guess I'd feel a little bit differently about this, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the one thing I'll say is there are a few things scarier than the unknown, right? And I'm not saying it's unknown to everybody. I'm sure the government has a very good idea. And there's definitely like language you could use to comfort yourself. Like, if there was something horrible and there was something that was imminently going to affect us, maybe, we'd know about it by now. But really, just the way things seem to realistically operate, it's way too soon for us to have any realistic idea at what was actually compromised.
Yeah.
In regards to a national security perspective.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a cop-out answer, but it's like, we don't know. And that's what's so scary.
I think the probably the the mentality here, even within the federal government, is maybe better to possibly overreact to this initially rather than underreact. But you're right. There's so many moving parts here. I mean, we still, and you know, you've written about this as well, and we can probably transition to it here, but like we're still in the process of figuring out like what happened to SolarWinds, and they're going through this response effort, trying to clean it up. And like, they've had some issues with it, but you know, given the nature of the attack, like, I guess in some ways that's to be expected, because we're in some uncharted waters here, yeah, in terms of the scale and the impact. But yeah, you wrote about sort of some of the things that you know, SolarWinds, I don't want to say had missed or hadn't cleaned up, but like there's some things that security researchers, or a variety of security researchers, had pointed out.
Yeah, okay, I can break it down. There were we wrote a story called SolarWinds Struggles with a Response to Supply Chain Attack on Search Security. And there are two main things we touch on. The first is that the malicious DLL seemed to still be available in some public downloads through about Monday night. So disclosed Sunday night, available until around Monday night. We're not going to get any specifics out of SolarWinds on this, but that's like our best guess so far is right. Like late Monday night, maybe early Tuesday, but like around that period. And then the other thing is, this one's just a little, I might say, unfortunate and bizarre. Than like malicious.
Oh, for sure. I would say
yeah, yeah. I'm not making conspiracies here. But the other thing was that there was a support page, is kind of in quotes, where they sort of recommend that on Orion products and I think some other products, but specifically Orion products, they recommend that you disable antivirus scanning on certain directories.
It's
very bad accidental optics.
It's not what you want.
Yeah. But we found out yesterday, like, reporting had said the page had been taken down or password locked, depending on who mentioned it. And right. I was like, oh, that's weird. And then I was like, oh, I guess I can't find the page. Then I Googled it. It was publicly available, and I saw it for myself. And then I sort of contacted SolarWinds, and I was like, hey, just looking for a little bit of context on this. And they will see if they get back to me, but they haven't as of yet. And that page is now currently locked behind a password, or deleted, but definitely locked behind a password. Mm-hmm. And there's this kind of narrative that's been very, I would say, public. About this, where there's a lot of dogpiling on SolarWinds for what's going on. But I actually got a lot of insight when I talked to Gray Noise Intelligence founder Andrew Morris. We chatted for another story and also a quote that's going into this story on Wednesday. And I asked him what he thought about this. And he said, like, listen, It's easy for someone to say that they didn't handle this right, they handled it wrong, they missed stuff, whatever. They were a company that got attacked by the full might of a state-sponsored threat actor.
Yeah.
And he's not, like, he wasn't necessarily making, like, excuses, but he was saying, like, this is an immensely challenging thing.
Yep.
Immensely painful. Like, and it's hard to say, it's hard to judge until you've been in that situation, which I understand why people would be like, well, but still. But I thought he made like a really interesting point there.
Yeah. And we should mention that Andrew was if he was not the first, he was one of the first on Monday to call attention to the fact that the DLL in question that was used by the threat actors was still available on the SolarWinds, you know, on the installers, the download links on SolarWinds website. So he found this and he called it out. But at the same time, you know, he's saying this is, I mean, it's really kind of an unprecedented thing. Again, people knew that supply chain attacks of this scale and nature and sophistication were possible, but they knew it was possible. It was in theory, but never seen anything like this before. And it's tough for, you know, even a company as large as SolarWinds to sort of address every little thing and get every little thing right. And I'm sure they're trying, but yeah, he makes a good point on that. So,
but I mean, the impression that we can get from the outside of this situation, despite what anyone might say, and the actual struggles that seem to have been going on with SolarWinds, there has been, I don't know what the definition of quick turnaround would be in a situation like this, but for a state-sponsored threat actor who had a super long dwell time, got into the government, got into one of the most respected security companies in the industry, one of the more respected at least.
Yeah, one of the top two or three, arguably, in the entire industry in FireEye, yeah.
And between the quick response SolarWinds made, I mean, what else are you going to make? But still, between Microsoft sort of taking immediate action, which we'll talk about in a second, over the last few days, and then turning one of the main domains used for the malware into a kill switch, to FireEye, to all this stuff going on. I mean, what else are you going to do than a fast recovery? But it does seem like, for as bad as this is, everyone's in high gear.
Yeah.
And like the royal we response is it seems pretty impressive.
Yeah, I would say it's encouraging. Like you said, the kill switch, getting that taken care of, nullifying any, you know, sort of lingering backdoors that had been deployed but maybe not activated, or even those that have been activated and are, you know, still communicating. I think that was critical. Updating all of the, you know, the anti-malware programs, whether it's Windows Defender or, you know, FireEye's products, making sure that they can identify this malicious code, Sunburst, or whatever, you know, other organizations want to call it. CISA putting out the alert today that we mentioned, you know, just saying, hey, there's other vectors. We're investigating it. Here are the steps you need to take. If you can't do a full investigation of your network and you run these products, you know, these versions of the Orion software, you should isolate them. You should, you know, I think the response has been encouraging. And again, the fact that they even found this to begin with, pretty impressive. But yeah, we'll see how long the good feelings and the optimism last, because like you said, Alex, we still don't know we don't know what the attackers got, and we don't know how far their reach is, like how many different organizations they really got into and what data they may be exposing or putting on, you know, WikiLeaks or just publishing on their own. Who knows? I mean, we really don't know.
Yeah, I'm guessing, though, I mean, I'm probably talking more to people like me who are less deep into cybersecurity.
Yeah.
But, like, my anticipation is, at least, we're not going to find out, like, Area 51 from this.
I wish, man.
It's probably going to be more boring and more, yet more impactful.
Yeah.
To the normal. I don't think we're gonna find out like the secret MK Ultra that was worse than MK Ultra.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's what's going to happen.
Oh, that would be something. That would be kind of a nice thing to come out of this if it was like, here are all the dirty Siggy. You know, JFK was killed by the mafia. The Irishman was accurate. You know, I don't know. We'll see.
Let's not say never, right?
Let's not say never. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's it for now. I think we covered all the highlights, the latest updates for this.
There's one small thing I want to touch on.
Sure, yeah, go.
Just the kill switch. I just spent a second on it. Microsoft is like kind of gets an MVP award. I mean, they often get the MVP award because they're Microsoft. But it seems like they've been doing a crazy amount to mitigate Sunburst, or what they refer to as Slurry Gate. On Sunday, they removed the digital certificates from the malicious files.
Oh, that's right.
Updated Windows Defender to detect the malware. On Wednesday, Monday, Tuesday, they acquired the domain with help from GoDaddy, the malicious domain. On Wednesday, Microsoft quarantined the malware by blocking known malicious SolarWinds binaries in Windows Defender. And then, as announced roughly today, I think. It was late yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay, also yesterday, came out that they had initiated a kill switch in this, which is kind of double-edged, because one, it's like, okay, cool, the most scary thing is mitigated, but also there's sort of a subtext here of let's remember that's not the only thing that was in there. It's the most talked about thing in there, but it appears that was not the only thing in there, and actually what was going on seems like much more sophisticated than has been conveyed, I guess, in discussions about it.
Yeah, and I just, like, I don't want people to get a false sense of security in hearing about the kill switch. I mean, just because the back door has been nullified does not mean, like, again, you know, I mentioned this at the top, but the threat actors, once they got in, these guys were spinning up their own credentials, forging tokens, like, they knew what they were doing. So once they got in and got it around the network, they could have planted other backdoors. They could have legitimate credentials. So it doesn't mean that the threat actors can't get back into your environment or aren't already there. It's just, you know, it's a major step in the response and the mitigation, but it doesn't mean everybody is protected. You got to get in there and look around and make sure that you're, you know, reasonably confident that these guys still aren't in there or don't have access. So, yeah.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, that was a good point. I mean, I had forgotten about the certificates too, but that's an important step. But yeah, I mean, good for them. Good for the overall response.
Real feel good story, Rob.
It's not a feel good story. But again, you know, hey, the royal we uncovered it. We're addressing it. We'll see what the government response is. We'll see how far this goes. We'll have more updates. This story ain't going anywhere for a long time. I look forward to the numerous RSA and Black Hat sessions about, you know, sort of the inside look at this, you know, the SolarWinds backdoor, the Sunburst, whatever. Mm-hmm. This is going to have huge repercussions. But for now, I think we covered pretty much the highlights. So.
Yeah.
Alex, thank you for joining me on this.
Thanks, Rob. This was fun.
Yeah, this momentous discussion about, you know, a historic supply chain attack and nation state threat. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Search Security. I'm Rob Wright, and we will see you next time.